Again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I am Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is what you guys can do it with me now. You've been listening a while. Now, Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin, precious metals, broker, dealer, depository service. Basically what that means, that actually does mean something. It means we're unique. Why are we unique? How are we unique? The way that Coins Plus is unique is that we are, like I said, full service. Okay. We're not a little ho-dunky, coin shop on the corner, as you guys are all familiar with. We've got a full depository. We've got the highest rated privately held depository service in the Western region, at least. One thing that is important, folks, I want you to understand this. Please listen close. I mean, the markets they change. Markets come and markets go, right? And if you have business experience, which praise be to the Lord, I had, a considerable amount of experience as a banker. I got to evaluate banks. I got to evaluate businesses and see what made people fail. Not that it's good that these things happened to anybody, but I got to be involved in the demise of businesses. I got to see a lot of what mistakes were made, how they were made, the overgrowth, expanding too quickly, pulling too much money out of the business, whatever. And so what's going on in our business nationally, there's some of these companies that have great big names that are not in good shape. And the reason is that they weren't designed on purity. Okay. When it comes to business purity, what I mean is with Coins Plus, when you come in here and you buy 100,000 in gold or whatever, 10,000, 1,000, $2 worth, sometimes I use big numbers and I don't mean to be braggadocious or offensive to people who don't have that kind of money at all. So please don't misunderstand me. But the point is, when you buy, you own. I was just talking to a contractor today. I sold a house in Idaho on the water, and I bought a house up in Green Acres on a bunch of land from a guy who, it needs a little work. We'll put it that way. And I was talking to a builder I've talked to about three. And he asked about Steve Baldwin, who back in the day was downtown. And he had bought an old bank building out, and he had depository services and whatnot. And I hate to, stories like this do not reflect well, but the long story short of it is he wasn't completely ethical in the items that people were storing with him. And when we built our building, because I knew that had happened and he'd gone to prison for it, which is no place I ever planned to go, praise Jesus. But he'd gone to prison for messing with people's stuff, and he should have. And he was there about 4 years. His name was Steve Baldwin, and he had, I don't even remember the name of the businesses, Panorex and, different companies. And he was a big shot, and he was always, at the bars and chasing the women and driving the fancy cars. And, I have to be careful about the fancy car comment, because I actually like cars, but I've learned some big lessons about them. Like I really got into kind of sports cars and things like that for a while. And I learned, man, cars are a depreciating liability. They're a money pit. So I would highly recommend, use Consumers Reports, buy a smart car. Don't be foolish. And the other thing I've lost my tail on is rebuilding old vehicles. I got into that for a while. I actually, one thing I really got into was rebuilding old Land Cruisers, and this has been a while, but I used to be a sucker for the 1976 through 79 Ford Ranger XLT pickups. The great big solid steel beefcake monsters that were real trucks, you know? And I would buy them, and I would rebuild them, and I'd repaint them, and boy, did I make them look beautiful. And when I was in Great Falls, oh, well, my dad was sick and dying, sadly, who had become a best friend of mine. I saw my ultimate pickup. I had one that it was black with chrome, and wow. And I actually saw it. And it's still ticking, and I hadn't seen it since 1994. And it was the guy who bought it, or whoever owns it now, was taking good care of it. But the moral of the story is I didn't do real well on those either. Cars are not made to make money on unless you are a car dealer. That's why I have, over the years, been God pushed me into the financial industry, into the money biz. And over the years, I've just learned owning hard assets is what it's all about. I actually just got off the phone with my accountant, and we were talking about the changes in the market and things I did right, things I did wrong. And he said, yeah, but he said, Kevin, he goes, basically you did well. I invested in a few things. I foolishly went outside my area of expertise. I got talked into investing in some other businesses and things that, you know, had some big names in them. And you know, they just didn't turn out like my own business, because it wasn't my business and I didn't know how to run it. I didn't have the authority to run it and whatnot. But overall, we still walked away, you know, in the long run. Okay, why? Because what saved me, folks? I'm going to tell you something. It's so important you understand this. Hard assets, okay? Real estate, gold, silver, rare coins, diamonds, Rolex watches. These are the things that saved me completely from, you know, market collapses and dives and changes and all this stuff. It's all about the hard assets. And so I don't just preach it, I live it, and I believe in it. And I believe that you, as a listener, should have a significant portion of your assets set aside in hard assets. I believe, if your kids are going to college or you're saving for something, put the money aside, let it sit there. Right now, rare coins are just such a value. And when I say rare coins, I mean, the market's become smarter, pickier. Data is just immense. I mean, what do you want to know about a coin, you know? Is how many exist? What's the average condition? Of course, we know the mintage and then the certification companies have what are called population reports. So if you have a certain coin, you know, you can know everything about it. And we've got, you know, we even have some stuff where, I mean, a while ago we sold just a tremendous amount of these deep cameo coins that were the very first coins, probably, you know, the first five, maybe first 50 off the die, first 25 to 50 coins, just beyond your wildest dreams. And not just off the die, off of a die that was perfectly prepared, perfectly handled, you know, on and on, did very well on that. Recently, we just got certified about 60 Canadian silver dollars. Now, that might sound kind of odd to you, but they're proof-like specimens, and I have a number of them that are the best of the best. They're the finest known, never been graded. I have the only, like, 1956 proof-like, and it's graded MS67+, proof like. So they've never graded an MS-67 on this day, and they've never graded a proof like. What's my problem? My problem is I don't even know where to look this thing up. So I've got this kind of stuff sitting around. I got to wait until I find a way to look it up. But I believe in hard assets. They're true. They're real. Markets come and markets go. But the nice thing is you don't have, when you have hard assets, when you have gold and silver based assets, precious metals based assets, okay, you don't lose your money. I mean, you don't, you might have fluctuations in value, but you do not lose your money. It doesn't go away. It stays strong. It stays healthy. I mean, it's there. It's always there. It's been there. I always think back to Greece and Rome and, you know, and I mean, it's to me, because I'm in coins, the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire seem to me like they're, you know, two blocks down and two blocks over, or, you know, 22 years ago. I mean, it just because I'm so familiar with this stuff. Civil War tokens, you know, coin vendors used to make them. They're like Indian pennies, but they would actually stamp out their own. There was companies that come and say, "What do you want on this?" And on one side, they'd put like the shield of the, you know, the constitutional or the colonial shield, and on the other side, they'd put a store card, which, you know, would say, "Shop at R.W. Briggs," you know. Or have your horses shoed at R.W. Briggs or whatever. And, you know, that kind of stuff, that's the kind of stuff I've hung on to because I think it's super cool and nostalgic and awesome. I have so much stuff going on. We're doing an investment package right now where I've dug through, like, my life savings of what they call type coins, okay? So, and some of you are listening like, whatever, I'm sorry, this is just who I am. But, you know, we made a lot of weird coins in this country, okay? You go through denominationally, our pennies, okay? Everyone's heard of the Indian head penny. Everyone, well, they're super cool. So, you know, a common date Indian head penny circulated is nothing special. It's worth like 50 cents or a dollar, or if it's, you know, extra fine, it might be $15 or $20, but it's not a lot of money. But then there are certain dates that are crazy money, and there's some that are, you know, it goes all over the place. And, you know, I've had situations where I've seen stuff and, you know, that, you know, I haven't had a chance to buy. That's just, you know, unbelievable. Before the Indian penny was the very first small cent. Before that, for a couple years, they made the Flying Eagle penny, which is usually one of people's favorites. It's the size of a penny with an eagle flying on it. I mean, it's the coolest looking coin ever. And then before that, we had the large cents. So at one point, our pennies were the size of a half dollar, and they are made out of pure copper. And because copper technically is a precious metal, or was, and now it's a base metal, whatever you want to call it. But that's, you know, the stuff I've been going through. And then we have 2 cent pieces, and I've got like literally thousands I've saved up over the decades, and I'm doing an investment package for a guy, and I'm putting together a bunch of that stuff. I've got it at my house, and I've been spending too much time on it. It's taken too long, and he doesn't know that because he hasn't come back to get everything. But a lot of times what I started out as was with Coins Plus, if you bring us money to invest, you are locked and loaded then and there, okay? You're locked and loaded. Either we have an inventory and you walk out with it, or if it's going to take a day or two to get, you know, people can come in with substantial amounts of money. And in some of those cases, we're not going to have all the inventory, but we'll have it literally within a day or two. We just don't play games. And so that's very important for you to know when you're out there buying. Folks, there, you know, you go all the way, people, a lot of the listeners remember Larry Bates, First American Monetary Consultants, very popular show. Back in the early 90s when I was with Bank of America and as a regional manager for a three-state region, I used to listen to Larry Bates on the radio. He actually had a little bit of inspiration in getting me into coins. And then later on, he took people's money and went bankrupt. I spoke with another guy recently here, poor guy, kind of a friend, and he can't pick us up where he lives out in Idaho, but engineer spent $1.5 million with a, you know, somebody he found on the web called Dakota Depository. You go on to their website, which you never could find searching on Google. You have to chase it down. Once you find their website, you see that there's nothing there. It's one of these GoDaddy, you know, $9.95 a year or month or whatever it is, websites. He sent this guy $1.5 million. The guy says he's a depository. So he supposedly got all the coins or all the precious metals on deposit. Okay? So then what happens? Then he decides he wants the money back. After he talks to me, and suddenly that becomes difficult. Uh-oh, now he can't get at it, you know, oh no. And I'm serious, I'm not being sarcastic. Just to keep it simple, what I'm trying to tell you is Coins Plus, honestly, we honestly do operate with full, complete integrity. I was, this builder I was talking with today, that was the comment he had. We were talking about Steve Baldwin, and he said, you know, Kevin, he goes, I'll tell you. He goes, I don't know a lot about you. He said, but what I do know is I did a lot. I talked to some people before, or a number of people, whatever, before we met. And he said, your reputation is generally basically impeccable. I couldn't find anyone that could say otherwise. And I said, I appreciate that. That's true. But I said, that doesn't happen by accident. I explained, I've even had to let people go who accidentally did things that could be perceived as legally questionable, not on purpose, you know, maybe not fully disclosing, you know, something that, or, you know, when, if you buy an investment package, we give you full disclosure and, you know, and in things where he, you know, forgot. And I just don't tolerate it. We just keep our noses clean here. When we buy stuff, we want to be, we're nationally known and reputed. We want to remain that way. People know who we are. I will literally get references from coin shops from New York and, you know, Florida and, you know, where they'll know somebody. Somebody will call them and say, hey, I'm up in, you know, Spokane or whatever, and I want to sell my grandpa's such and such coin collection. Who do you recommend? And we get referrals from all over the United States. And that's, I hope, I feel, I believe, because we've earned it, you know? And that's, like I said, that's who I want to be. And that's who I hope we are. That's who I know we are. And so, don't get caught up in chasing, you know, what do they say, rain, waterfalls, whatever. Just know that at Coins Plus, everything we do is nationally competitive, always, whether buying or selling. We're fair, we're honest, we're well capitalized, we're debt free. I want you to ring that in your ears. We are debt free, okay, including if you've ever been to our building, we've got one of the a realtor with Kimley and Haygood, one of the biggest real estate commercial realtors in Spokane, said, we have hands down the most iconic facility in the city, not just in like I say, in my industry nationwide, we have one of the finest facilities known, hands down, bar none, blah, blah, blah. You got the picture, right? That's who we are. And so, you know, he's, of course, wanting to sell the building and this and that. And, you know, we're just not in that position, obviously. But we do have a very good facility that we offer you. A lot of confidentiality. We have conference rooms, you know, private, you know, privacy, anonymity. All these things are very important to us. We will take very good care of you. We really respect our clientele and we really believe in what we do. Now, what happens is people will say, well, shoot, you know, gold's down. I'm like, gold's down. 20 years ago, gold was 200 and something an ounce, you know, and then you go back, 10 years ago, gold was 600 and something an ounce or 500 an ounce or whatever it was. And now it's 1300. And, so when you do the math, it's like gold's not down for a period of time. It was up. It had a pretty significant spike, but that spike came after a climb that began in about 2001, right after 9/11, and it climbed and climbed and climbed, and it was just a steady climb that went clear until about 2014, 2013. And Obama got the central bankers together and said, look, we need to manipulate the COMEX market. That's the commodities exchange. And they pushed metals down. They messed with them a little bit. And now Trump hasn't done anything with it or about it because he hasn't had it brought to his attention. Sooner or later, it will be. One other thing, just as a side note to keep in mind, the left that loves taxes, that doesn't understand life or our business, is trying to put a sales tax on precious metals. Can you even imagine? We make 2 or 3% and they want 8.6%. Sorry, it won't work. You can't do it. They have done it in a couple states, and, in which case it just would force us to have another branch in Idaho that basically our main address would be Idaho, and then we'd have to do all of our, we could do deliveries in Washington, but the main address would be in Idaho. But it's not right. It's just this, it's money. It's God's money. It's real money. It's mentioned as money throughout the Bible. It is the core of economics. Without precious metals, we wouldn't be here as a nation, because there's limited amounts of wealth. We had so much gold, and we didn't have fiat currency prior to World War I, that it gave us the ability. We'd built up so much wealth and such powerful industry, it gave us the ability to win wars. The thing that blows everyone's mind is that banks finance both. I hate this. Banks, bankers, central banks, whatever you want to call them, they finance both sides of wars. Both sides. They finance enemies, you know? And youch. You really think about it. Banks want war. War is very profitable. I mean, I was watching, back when Trump was dropping bombs, 500, what were they? 500 million? No, that can't be right. What was that? Was it $500 million? I think it was. I think that one bomb that he dropped that took up over a mile of underground space. Now, they told us that, there was some Al-Qaeda there, and they thought they killed 37 of them. A friend of mine on the inside said, Kevin, that is not what happened. They kept it very quiet. He said they had Al-Qaeda, ISIS, whoever, both, all of them, had a huge underground lair, fully equipped, where they were literally operating all of their computer systems from down there, and they were manipulating the world in every way. They were running all kinds of fraud schemes financially. By the way, you need to be very, very careful of anything you get by email. If your bank or PayPal or whatever, they will never contact you. The first thing you do is if you get contacted, they say there's an issue with your account or anything, you make sure that you completely log out of that email. You go to the web and you log directly into the site. Do not ever, ever, ever log into any account via email. Okay. So if you get an email from PayPal or Bank of America or Citibank or Capital One or, whoever you're with, and it says log in here, don't leave that that email, leave it completely, close it out, go to the internet, direct DuckDuckGo or whatever, and then log in directly, privately, anonymously. Otherwise, that's how they get you. It's called phishing, P-H-I-S-H. And then they get your data and your passwords. And you also got to watch for malware where they, you know, they hijack your computer system. If you have good malware software, you're a lot better off. We, of course, have a tech company that watches over us. It's SideQuest. Very too expensive, but they do a good job. So, you know, you got to watch what you get. You get what you pay for in this world, right? So enough of that. I trust you had a wonderful weekend. I hope you did. And I want to see if I can go back and get myself a little. Let's see if we can do this here. We can find. I had so much information. Man, did I have. I get so much cool stuff that I really want to do this. And then I, let's see here. There's one. Last week we talked about, you know what? I'll finish up. Last Friday, I talked about the Jews, that how all of European life died in Auschwitz. Auschwitz was the concentration camps where they cooked or baked, you know, whatever you want to call it. Sorry for the terms, but where they killed the Jews. They cooked them. They burnt them. It's bad, right? Spanish newspaper talked, you know, about how they killed 6 million Jews and replaced them with 20 million Muslims. This is in Spain. Spain's a mess. We're getting the same way. In Auschwitz, we burned a culture, it says. We burned thought, creativity, talent. We destroyed the chosen people, truly chosen, because they produced great and wonderful people who changed the world. The contribution of this people is felt in all areas of life, science, art, international trade, and above all, the conscience of the world. These are the people we burn. And then he's talking about how under the pretense of tolerance, because we wanted to prove to ourselves that we were cured of the disease of racism, we've opened our gates now to 20, this is Spain, 20 million Muslims. In America, it's a lot more. And it says these people brought, it says 20 million Muslims who brought us, and this is his words, it says stupidity, ignorance, religious extremism, and a lack of tolerance, crime, poverty, due to an unwillingness to work and support their families with pride. Unfortunately, this is what has happened and is happening in America. I do not understand, I'll be honest with you, how in the world we go from being attacked and blaming the Muslims, which were definitely part of 9/11, although there's a lot more that went into it than that. And, you know, and then we open our doors to them and say, come on in. And then we have the left, the socialistic left. They call themselves democratic socialists. Folks, socialism has absolutely destroyed life in this country, in this world, in history. And it's unbelievable the damage and destruction that socialism has caused. I talked briefly last week about even their jihad of overpopulating. When, you know, Americans are growing at a 0.8 pace. In other words, we're going backwards. The natives, the Hispanics, they have a little bit of a positive. And then at 1.8, which is a growth rate. And then the Muslims are at like 10. Which means Muslims are having like 9 kids a family, and then they use that to overtake countries. They come here. I mean, can you imagine these countries, the nationalities, whatever you want to call them? They come here, and then they collect unemployment immediately, and welfare and everything else. So it's all done. It's a done. You know it. And it is what it is. They have their different types of jihad, and that's just what we got. So there it is. You know, we're sitting in a situation that I don't like. And I honestly think it's a great threat to America. I think we're, every country has its great day, and every country has its bad day. And every country throughout history, unfortunately, has had some form of collapse. They may still exist, but they, you know, you take Greece was a world power, right? Rome. You been to Rome lately? Are they a world power? I don't think so. You know, things change. The article talked about, you know, all of the Nobel Prizes won by one. Okay, the Muslims make up a fifth of the world's population, one-fifth, 20%. They've won seven Nobel Prizes. So there's obviously an intelligence and accomplishment issue there. That's not good. The Jews, now that's 1.4 billion people. 1.4 billion people have gotten seven Nobel Peace Prizes. The Jews have 14 million people on Earth. 14 million. That's it. And they, which is 0.02% of the population of Muslims. Not 2%, not 0.2%, but 0.02%. And then they've gotten something like 291 Nobel Prizes. They have contributed well. I've had people say terrible things about the Jews. God's covenants don't break, okay? Covenant theology, I don't want to get into on the show, but the bottom line is it's a fact. God said it. That's it. His word is good, and he keeps it when he says he does it, and it's not dependent on our behavior. God's word is God's word. God's covenant is God's covenant. When God says it is what it is, that's what it is. You can go to the bank with it, okay? Now, along the, you know, a similar line, I guess, is the world we live in. The world always returns to gold. Gold-based assets, whatever you want to call it. The world always returns to or maintains, sticks to hard assets, right? Everyone, you know, it's we all run after money, right? It's something that God created for us to do. It's God created economics. He created wealth. He created ways to bless us. He created ways to curse us. He created ways to reward us. You know, maybe that's what he meant in Genesis when he said you'll be cursed by having to till the ground, because if you don't, you will not have income. If you do not have income, you cannot function. If you can't function, you can't feed yourself or your family, right? So it's important that you realize these things, you think about these things, and you apply these things to your life. It's the fact that there is one form of true wealth, and that is, you know, true money, gold and silver-based assets. Now, we do some really nice balanced portfolios. I just sold a guy last week some San Francisco Mint Peace Dollars in 1921 San Francisco Morgan, certified mint state, 64s, incredible. I mean, they're so rare. We look for value, okay? The rarity of the of these 1921S dollars, which if you're calling, I don't think I have many left at all. Just a handful, but you know, anyway, they're extraordinarily rare. And if you compare the other coins that are comparatively at the same level of rarity, are coins that are worth, you know, $5,000-$10,000 sometimes. Maybe $3,000 to $5,000. It depends on the coin. They're ridiculously, exorbitantly inexpensive. And so that's the kind of stuff that we put into investment portfolios. That's our desire. Winston, so you go back. I mean, there's this article I'm kind of looking at here where this guy talks about the world always returns to gold. He says, most of us don't even attempt to understand the way it's generated. We can't be blamed much since it's been made complex on purpose so as to keep commoners ignorant about it, that's you and I, who are otherwise quite able to change the evil system. The fundamental question we need to ask ourselves is if we know the difference between money and currency. If we don't, then we're totally out of sync with what's happening in the out there, he says, or in the world. It's extremely common to think that both are the same. The currency from the word current has no value because it is a medium of exchange that enables us to buy things of value. The money, on the other hand, has intrinsic value. Precious metals-based assets, that's money. What I want to sell you, what I want you to invest in, that's money. That's a hard asset. That's stuff that will save you come H or high water, as you know. Winston Churchill said, the farther back you look, the farther forward you're likely to see. In the olden days, as we say, we used to have a barter trade, but its complete reliance on the coincidence of wants made it unworkable with the advent of time. In 407 BC, the government of Athens used gold as money. When their requirements went up due to the war expenses, they added copper into their gold coins to churn out more and thereby debased their currency, which meant 1,000 coins of tax payment were made into 2,000 coins simply by adding 50% copper into it. Now, the government was spending more than what it had in its treasury, which is called deficit spending. Sound familiar? Which happens right now. This meant that you could go into the bank with a $100 bill and redeem it for $100 in gold coin. The currency bills were just a medium of exchange. However, when the governance costs shot up in order to fulfill unrealistic promises made during elections, guess what? Same thing as now. We're talking 400 BC. More importantly, wars, they began printing money more than the gold they had. And they actually created receipts of gold more than the gold they had. Folks, that's what shot us down. That's what caused the crash of 29, everything else. Now, they had a currency which was not backed up by gold, which is what we have now. The U.S. began sending these dollars out. The U.S., now we're talking about us, we've begun sending these dollars out to all the countries. But when many countries realized that these are mere papers, which is what happened after World War I, they asked for gold in exchange for these dollars. The U.S. did some gold repatriation, which is a big thing of Trump's. He wants to bring all the money back home because he thinks that currency, a.k.a. Federal Reserve notes, are real money. But since it didn't have enough gold, it came up with what is known as the Nixon shock in 71. The Nixon shock, it says inter alia other economic measures, I don't know what that word means, was a unilateral decision to cancel direct convertibility of the U.S. dollar into gold. In other words, he abandoned the gold standard. By 1973, it was all about free-floating fiat currency. This was history repeating itself more than the 100th time. Okay, so over 100 countries have done this over and over and over. As is the nature of such a system, a fiat currency is plainly an order of an authority that the papers they print in their printing press are to be accepted as legal tender. Fiat currency has value because of decree. I hope I'm not going over your head. Now, all the world currencies are fiat currencies, and they're backed by nothing. They are simply being printed out of thin air. We live in, it's a religion. It's a form of faith. So, when governments do deficit spending, which they always do, and by the way, they simply turn the switch of their printing machine on and pump in new currencies, a process called quantitative easing. When you have more currency in circulation with the same assets, the assets and services get pricey. This is inflation. In inflation, everything becomes valuable except the currency. This shows us that the government's ability to debase the currency by adding copper in the old days or by printing new notes to cover for their extra spending is the root of the problem. Throughout history, whenever people lost confidence in the paper, which I can't believe we haven't done yet, folks, they've rushed back to gold and silver. These two precious metals have revalued themselves. It has happened umpteen times since the advent of monetary history, and it's due to happen again in this decade. As strongly claimed by many famous experts, including one famed monetary historian, Mike Maloney, who's got a heck of a history. But anyway, whenever that happens, there's a massive wealth transfer. Since wealth can never be destroyed, we have to take a call now as to if we want to be on the receiving side or the losing side of this impending wealth transfer. Those who rush back to gold now will see tremendous profits. Those who rely on currency deposits in the banks are preparing or bound to lose all they have. So when I say gold, folks, realize I've always done this. When I say gold, I mean gold-based assets. Gold-backed, you know, it's an easy word for hard assets, gold and silver-based assets. So please keep that in mind. When I say gold, I mean precious metals-based assets. It refers to the entire sector. So the deficit spending is to raise a debt, which is to be repaid by citizens, of course, along with interest. Deficit spending. Gotta love that, right? Debt, debt, debt. The biggest problem, like I've said, Uncle Sam is our father. We follow what our parents teach us. So this system is based strictly on debt and interest, which is why it's bound to come crashing down every single time this cycle gets repeated. And folks, we're not unique. You're not special. Your 401k, your IRA, all of it, all of it. I mean, this has happened over 100 times with zero exceptions. It's happening. It will happen. It's coming. You know, I'll sit here and I'll tell you this and you know, you won't listen or you'll say, oh, there's Kevin, Mr. Negative. Folks, I'm telling you, be prepared. Deficit spending, you know, it raises the debt to be repaid. Like I said, it comes crashing down every time, which shows, you know, the only way to stop governments from indulging in this practice is to do away with paper currency and have precious metals as money. Now, one of the arguments is there's not enough gold out there to do this. That's pure foolishness. I mean, if gold's $5 million an ounce, then you just break the currency down into fractions of that, or what? It would never be $5 million an ounce because it would self-correct. But anyway, so what's wrong with that? That money can also be digitally managed as we do with fiat currency is because it cannot be artificially printed at their whim and desires that they do not do it. At the max, the paper currency can be used if there's a universally accepted financial institution that can make sure that the currency that's being printed is 100% backed by gold in reserves. Okay. We're not in a position right now to do that. Otherwise, gold currency is the only bankable option. So basically, hard assets, gold and silver-based option assets is the only place to keep your money. Coincidentally, Islam favors the same equitable and fair system that has an anti-bubble mechanism installed in it. No Great Depressions and no economic meltdowns or recessions have ever hit a Muslim country. Imagine that. They might be onto something. Why is that? Because they know we're not. Those who, you know, I can get into the details of how fiat currency is created out of nothing and how it's all a huge scam, but that's quite a, it's a lot more complicated than you'd expect. I have all the information right here. I didn't really plan on covering it today. But I think what I wanted to do is stick with the basics of what we've been trying to do. And each day I have a little bit of time to cover this stuff. But in a nutshell, our monetary system is a fraud. Many of us think that something isn't quite right with the world economy. We know it. One in a million actually understands it. Where, you know, does it go wrong? Powers that be do not want you to know about it, as it's your ignorance which keeps them at the top of the financial food chain. They, as long as you're ignorant, they win, right? I don't know if any other example in history, of any other example in history where so many people have been looted by so few. I don't think there is one. We've carried this system longer than anybody has ever dreamt of, and we're unfortunately very good at it. So, you know, I can get into that. More modern banking systems, they create money faster, especially under Trump, than our hearts can beat. They make it so complex and unintelligible that no one except them alone understand it. All economies work pretty much the same, but the same way, but since most of the global transactions use U.S. dollars, which we've, because of the Bretton Woods Act in 1946, it's made itself the majority of the world's currency. I've traveled globally recently in the last few years, and it's losing its sizzle. It's losing its respect. If I exemplify the U.S. system, it all starts with one politician running for the Senate or for presidency. They always promise that they're going to give you more facilities than their opponent will, right? That's politics, right? It's just they promise you a bunch of stuff. The left, the right should know better, right? But the left, they don't get it, okay? Now, I'll admit, you know, Trump promised the wall. Well, we need a wall. I mean, that's just a no-brainer. For the left to be fighting anything the right says, I mean, politics is ugly, gross, dirty, filthy stuff, and I'm tired of it, to be honest with you. It makes me sick. I used to keep a lot closer watch on the news. I've done a poor job of it. I get sick of it because it's hate Trump this, hate Trump that, you know, sort of, you know. So what happens is to fulfill these promises, these politicians spend more than the national income, which is deficit spending. The Treasury borrows currency by issuing a bond. This is where how our economic system works. They issue a bond. A bond is a piece of paper or a glorified IOU, which means loan us trillions of dollars today and we'll return it to you in 10 years with interest. This amount is the national debt, which is to be paid by you, the citizens, the people of this country. The Treasury holds a bond auction. The world's largest banks show up and compete to buy the national debt and make a profit. Through an open market operation, the banks sell these bonds to the Federal Reserve, which is the global central bank, for a profit. Now, you got all this profit. How many people just made money in all that? The Fed then writes bad, bogus checks, which should bounce because they have a zero balance in their account. The Boston Federal Reserve explains it like this. They say, when you and I write a check, there must be sufficient amount in our account to cover that. But when the Fed writes a check, it creates the money. When these checks are given to the banks, the currency springs into existence out of thin air. The banks then go back to the Treasury auction and buy more bonds. In this way, the Federal Reserve and the Treasury swap IOUs using banks as middlemen to create currency. This results in the buildup of IOUs at the Federal Reserve and of currency at the Treasury. Earlier, you could walk into any bank and redeem your $50 bill for a $50 gold piece. But that's not possible any longer now because this system is nothing but just the supply of numbers. Once, and I didn't plan on going over this, but I hope some of this is sticking with you. Once the money reaches the government, politicians are happy. They spend it on public works. A lot of welfare, a lot of giveaways, infrastructure, war, welfare. All the employees deposit their savings into banks. Uh-oh, the money goes back to the bank, technically loaning it to them, who can do almost anything with it, be that gambling or loaning it at a profit. If you deposit $100, banks usually have to keep about 10% as vault cash for a customer to withdraw some. And then they lend the other $90 to some other borrower. It's called a fractional reserve currency system, or fractional reserve lending. The banks leave IOUs for your $90, which is why it still shows $100 in your account. And now there's $190 in existence. The borrower of your $90 gives it to the seller of a car or house or whatever the reason they borrowed it, and the seller goes and deposits that into his account, from which the bank re-lends $81, another 90%, to some other borrower. Now your $100 has become $271. This process of redepositing and relending repeats itself over and over again, all the way to $1,000, all backed up by a vault cash of $100, which is fake from the beginning. These commercial banks create checkbook money simply by creating numbers. In some cases, the fractional reserve ratio is only 3%, and for some others, even 0% during the crash we saw back in 2009. 92 to 96% of currency is created here in the banking system, only 4 to 8% by our government. The prices act as a sponge. They increase in currency. Increase in currency results in inflation, which is an impalpable tax. So basically, according to John Maynard Keynes, and I'll kind of stop there because of time. Well, I'll just say this currency represents just the numbers, some printed, but most of it's just typed. It never even hits reality. True wealth is our time. This is the name of the show, and I'll leave it at this. True wealth is the name of the show you're listening to. What is true wealth? True wealth is your time, your labor, your sweat, your ideas, which is intellectual property, your talent, which gives it value. Okay. Other forms of true wealth is hard assets that God made in the earth divinely in a specified or limited amount. Okay. We work hard. We pay taxes to the government. The IRS, basically, and we overpay, which is where the fraud lies. Much of our tax money, it doesn't go where they say. They always say it's for the children. It's for the schools. It doesn't go to the schools. It doesn't go to the hospitals or other such public works, but the IRS pays it to the Federal Reserve for those bogus checks which it had written to create currency. All right, do you see this crazy merry-go-round? I will admit this is a tough follow. Before the establishment of the Fed, there was no need of any personal IT. It was started in 1913, the same year when the Fed was established, okay? This can't be a coincidence. Anyway, this takes us to another concept called debt ceilings, which is a paradox because there's an interest on each bond on every dollar in existence. If you borrow a dollar and it's the only dollar in existence, you promise to pay it back with interest. You can't pay it back unless you borrow again at interest to pay back the debt. So you have to create the money to create the interest. Oh, I'm sorry. There's never enough currency to pay the debt. It's an impossible system. If we stop borrowing, no new currency is created. Currency and debt are matter and antimatter. They meet and annihilate each other. The most important point is that the Federal Reserve is not federal. It has stockholders who are its owners. It's privately owned. The Fed, it's a private corporation. As its website says, there is a 6% dividend to stockholders. No one can trace who owns stock in the Federal Reserve, but most probably they are the primary dealers, the banks themselves. We pay taxes so the Fed Reserve can pay those stockholders. And, you know, and on we go. I mean, we're getting to, I guess we, you know, can finish this up and that'll be the show. So it proves that this system has owners, which is why there is a huge disparity between the rich and the poor. The system's evil. It's a form of enslavement, which John Maynard Keynes made it such so we can force ourselves into socialism to bankrupt the working man. If you're a working man, your money's buying you less and less. The rich is getting richer. It's true. But it's not because of the conservatives. It's because of the liberal socialistic program. It's a promise to make us pay taxes in the future. Nobody has ever asked, you know, me if I promised to work hard so that my grandparents could, you know, enjoy this or that. You know, I wasn't even there. I mean, these are decisions that were made for us. No one's asking our children if they agree to work for the comforts which I enjoy today, which is the way it's set up. It steals prosperity out of the future so that it can spend it today. It's a pyramid scheme, a Ponzi scheme, it's legalized theft and fraud, as, you know, anyone would know. This system's falling, and as I've always been saying, the Islamic economics is inevitable and sure to come. So prepare yourself as soon as you can. And sorry, I bounced around that a little bit. I really didn't intend to cover it at all. I wasn't prepared. But the bottom line is, we've got a problem. There's a simple solution for you. It's good to understand what you can't understand what I just said, because I hardly understand it. I could get into it in great depth, but I won't right now. But the bottom line is, get your money out of the system. If you absolutely have to have a 401k or IRA, get it transferred into precious metals. All you got to do is call us, 444-0044, toll free 877-TAP-COIN, or through our website at coinswiss.com. Email us. We do this every single day. We transfer people's wealth into a trust, and then we put precious metals in their 401ks and IRAs. We also build savings. Now, I would recommend keeping your money out of 401ks and IRAs, because they trap you. If you ever need any of your money back, now all of a sudden you have to pay tax, a penalty, and a bunch of other stuff that you really don't want to be paying. So I would prepare yourself that way. End of the show, same deal. You want a free silver dollar, really nice Morgan, go to Google, give us a 5-star review based on some experience, and we'll give you a nice silver dollar. Do it on 3 locations. We'll give you 2 really nice quality dollars. But bottom line, folks, get yourself covered. Take care. God bless. See you soon. Bye-bye.